Hey, before we begin the episode, I just wanted to announce that 5GMs will be donating 100% of our merch profits to a local charity that supports immigrants starting today. Each month, we'll announce on our socials which charity we'll be donating to. If you've been eyeing a new hat for the summer or a new hoodie to keep you warm, now your purchase will go to a good cause. You can visit the number 5GMsinatrenchcoat.bigcartel.com today to make your purchase. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Sam Dunnewald, and I am the host of Dice Exploder, the Emmy-nominated podcast all about RPG design right here on the Many-Sided Network. And after years of interviews and ideation with some of the best designers in RPGs, my first print game is coming to Kickstarter. Band-Aids and Bullet Holes, a John Wick-inspired game about getting your bloody revenge. Band-Aids and Bullet Holes is a game about standing in the shadow of a skyscraper in the pouring rain, bathed in bubblegum neon and someone else's blood, staring down at the man who ruined your life all those years ago, raising the barrel of a gun and asking, "Will you pull the trigger?" Band-Aids and Bullet Holes is a one-shot capsule game box set deck builder RPG, and you can follow it right now on Kickstarter. Back Band-Aids and Bullet Holes on May 5th.
This season of 5GMs in a Trench Coat deals with themes of loneliness, loss, the paranormal, growing older, confrontation, parental pressures, reconciliation, teenage shenanigans, allusions to being people of color in the 80s, and hope. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to 5GMs in a Trench Coat, Season 5 from Inside the Tent. Interstate 380, or just Route 380 even. We're heading down this highway. The sound of warm, worn rubber kind of presses against hot, hot asphalt as the about 101 degree sun beats its way into this kind of old beat down car, heating the interior even with cracked windows, making it close to unbearable. Skin sticking to seats and burning as you accidentally place it down on the armrest next to the door and yanking your arm up. The air is dry and arid, and you feel the inside of your nostrils crack just a bit. You'll definitely have those rock blood boogers later on. Your mouth is dry, but not in the way that it's begging for water, but more in the way that it's just tired. It's not too hot. It's just you're exhausted. You've been driving a long time. The wheel is hot to the touch. Who's driving, and what do they look like?
I think Angie is driving. She is driving because she's the most excited about being here in the first place. She's kind of dragged her friend along on this road trip. They've just graduated from high school. So this is their pre-college, let's go out and do something trip. Angie is 18. She's still got that kind of cropped hair look that you give yourself in the bathroom mirror because you're trying. I just want to do something new. I really want to change myself. I'm finding who I am. And so she took some scissors to her hair in this really uneven bob of black hair that contrasts against her pretty pale skin. Despite the heat and kind of the uncomfortability of a road trip like this, she's still in very high spirits, probably like bouncing her head along to whatever's playing on the radio.
Yeah, you bounce your head along, your self-done hair kind of bobs along with you. Next to you, the sun causes a bit of sweat to beat into their eyes and sting a bit. Vin, can we describe your character, and can you give us a name?
Yes. In contrast, Tatum, or Tate, is sweltering. Despite the weather, she has a aesthetic to achieve, and that is, unfortunately, this kind of, like, chaotic academia. So she's in, like, this long plaidy skirt, a sweater vest, and a polo. That's her summer look.
Oh.
It is just absolutely miserable behind, like, these big Coke bottle glasses and trying to read, but it's just sweat pouring down her brow like Jesus in the night, and is trying to be very nonchalant about it and is failing.
Yeah, you, again, like you said, are attempting to capture this dark academia, and that brow sweat is making it nearly impossible to read. Your eyes sting, and you're not quite sure if it's tears or sweat that's kind of coming out the bottom of them. You've been driving now for a couple of miles, and you're just outside of Roswell. You're not quite inside, into that portion of New Mexico yet. There's long strips of road that kind of just exist in the vastness of the Americas, and going on a road trip in the summer is sort of this American passage of time of exploration. So many parents talking about their summer before college and driving to college with their friends or whatever. And it's that kind of thing that you've somehow been convinced into doing. Where have you guys gone this far?
I think this is honestly pretty early in the trip. I don't think we're from very far away. We've maybe made a pit stop once before reaching Roswell.
Yeah.
But it's kind of clear that Angie has been on a warpath to get to here, specifically. Mm-hmm. She's very excited to be in Roswell.
As your warpath is almost at its end, your foot's maybe a little heavier on the gas than typical when just in the middle of the Americas and just on a road. You're so close to that finish line of getting where you're going. It's hot. The music kind of drowns out a lot of the other feelings and sounds you might have to hear. Then there's this kind of heavy thrum, and you're not sure if it's the car or the road, or your own blood rushing in your ear from the heat and the constant attempt at, like, dispersing the heat in your body. You're getting flush. Your body's trying to release as much heat as it can. You're heating up. It's really hot. But you just hear that low thrum. The two of you, what do you do when you start to feel almost like all of the hair on your body stand up?
Just a little panic, because she doesn't remember anything about, like, electromagnetic phenomena or static or something out here. So it's a little weird. Just kind of looks directly at Angie at the wheel. Quirks a brow.
On the opposite side of that coin, Angie is kind of, like, grinning in a way that's a bit hysterical, just like oh because unlike her dear friend and companion, Angie is very aware that there have been weird electromagnetic things going on around this town. It's very par for the course. You know, the skeptics like to say that it's just the geography of the place, it's just the military doing whatever they're doing, but not Angie. Angie has a very distinct hypothesis about what this might be, but she just looks at Tate and asks, "Did you feel that?"
"I'm feeling a lot of things right now. You have to be a little bit specific."
"Come on, Tate. The hum, the thrumming."
"Yeah, I think we're going crazy."
"Oh, so now you believe in, what's the word again? Shared delusions?"
"I believe in madness. Maybe a little Hypocrisy, maybe, but...
Hypocrisy?
Yeah. Like, why are... You are the little conspiracy person. Now you're going to grill me about finding something weird?
Well, conspiracies aren't madness. Madness is boring.
Oh my god, you should sell that on a t-shirt.
I know.
Can you guys give me a brain roll?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I rolled a 4.
I rolled a 17.
17's so good. Angie, maybe you didn't notice because, again, your foot's so heavy on the gas and you're so close to your destination. You're kind of busy poking and prodding at Tate. Tatum, you have recognized that this is about the third time you're about to pass the same rest stop, or at least what appears to be the same rest stop.
We've seen that, right? I'm pretty sure we've seen that before.
Seen what?
The rest stop. There's multiple along the highway. I don't remember there being this many.
It might be a chain? They have a bunch of those on this road, I think.
I don't think they franchise rest... No. Look, you keep driving. I'm going to pay attention. And if I see that same spot again, we're stopping, okay?
Aye, aye, Captain.
Now she's focusing.
Yeah, you drive for a bit, probably about 20 minutes, and you see in the distance kind of the shape of a building. And as you get closer, it is that same rest stop.
Okay, stop.
Okay, hold on. Angie will make the move to pull over to the side of the road.
Yeah.
We bring the car to a stop. Angie turns off the engine. Okay, so yeah, that's definitely the same rest stop.
Yeah, should have put a bet on it.
That's fun.
No, we should get out. No, we shouldn't.
Okay, well, the other option is to just keep driving forward, and clearly that hasn't been getting us anywhere, so I think we should go see the rest stop.
You are very calm about the situation.
It's Roswell, New Mexico.
Okay?
This is, like, par for the course.
The course of what?
Let's find out. Come on, I'll buy you something.
I don't think I want anything from the haunted or rest stop, but let's go.
You both get out?
Mm-hmm.
Can you guys give me grit rolls, please?
Oh, that's my grit again. Hey, that is a 10.
A 9.
Those are both fairly good. You feel as your extremities, starting at the very tips of your fingers and toes, begin to tingle. And it's the kind of tingle where you've fallen asleep on your arm like this and you can't even move it. Like the weight itself, like everything's gone fully numb in it. Your leg, into your feet, into your ankles, into your calves, into your thighs, your entire body starts to become heavy and weighted and almost impossible to move. You're taking a few steps. You're both getting so tired. Do you look at each other?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Angie looks at Tate. I think her expression is like, oh, like, yeah, she was really excited and this was really cool. It's starting to get a little bit real now. And
a
little less cool. I think she's a little scared.
Tate, you see the fear in Angie's eyes, someone who just a moment ago was kind of poking and prodding you about, like, oh, it's Roswell, New Mexico. And then a bit of blood dribbles out of Angie's nose before she passes out. And you're not long to follow as you both kind of fall unconscious. On the inside of this what you know is a facade. It looks to be a rest stop from the outside. You were brought here. You didn't have anything covering your eyes. And you were placed here, and you haven't been able to escape. It functionally is like a rest stop or a diner on the inside. There's food. There's access to a handful of things. It's not access to much electronics. The people that brought you here don't trust you much with electronics. They don't trust your level of intellect that you might have. They haven't done much communicating with you. A bit of poking and a bit of prodding, but that's about it. You get checked on by handlers every now and again, but you've found that just about every 10 to 15 miles in any direction ends in you falling unconscious and then waking up and having to walk back functionally. You can't seem to get out of this place. You've been here for quite some time. You hear a thrumming. You're not quite sure what it is, but then after the thrumming, and you hear it multiple times, but you hear the running of a car engine, and you see kind of sitting still in front of, you just look out the window. I mean, you can walk out, but you see sitting still is this car, and you see two people inside having a conversation, and they look out the window multiple times as if they're surprised to see this, to see you again. It's almost like they don't see you, and they see you, and they don't see you, and they see you. And then they veer off to the side and pull off, and before they get out of their vehicles, they have a short conversation, and you see it as the two of them get out of their vehicle, you see Tate and Angie, who quickly fall unconscious. You're on the inside. This is the first time you've seen any non-government agent type people come this way. Can you describe yourself, and can you tell us what you're going to do in this moment?
I would love to. So I am Umbra. Umbra looks like a cat. Is a cat in shape. Kind of the size of a full-grown Maine Coon, which, if you don't know how big a Maine Coon is a kind of a larger household cat. She has ears that go up into little tufts that resemble, like, lynx ears, except the little tufts extend far longer backwards. She has this dark black coat of fur with sort of grayish flecks in the fur. The tips of her ears also go from black to gray the longer it goes. And she just has these big ol' eyes that are mostly pupil in a way that is disconcerting. People don't much like to try and look her in the eyes. I think she has sort of jumped up onto one of the little tables by the windows of the rest stop, and has been quizzically just like head tilt watching this car go by. I think the moment she sees them drop unconscious, does this look familiar to me, like the way I start feeling when I start moving away too far from this radius?
Yes, but there's something a little different about it. It shouldn't occur
this close in.
Like, you're not feeling anything currently.
Yeah, I think immediately then I'll hop down the table and then pitter-patter my way over to the two unconscious human bodies on the assumedly asphalt of the outside the rest stop. I think once I get there, I'll look at them, sort of press my paw against Tate's body, try and see if there's any reaction, anything. If there's nothing, I'll like start clambering over their, like, on their backs over Tate and Angie, trying to see if I can rouse them from whatever slumber they've fallen into. See if I can figure out what's up.
Yeah, after a few moments. So firstly, upon kind of checking them, there is something of note. Actually, can you roll me a brain?
Brains roll. That is a 19.
Very good. So that's really high. On a 19, you think that they made it here by absolute happenstance. And you know that a lot of what is going on here has to do with radio waves and sound waves. They've kind of been keeping you here. Your ears are finely tuned to handle certain radio waves. And whoever's keeping you here is using some kind of sound or radio wave apparatus to create functionally a barrier for you that'll knock you unconscious. It seems that whatever radio station or song they had playing disrupted it, and it allowed them to come through. Hence why you aren't really allowed to have any technology in here. As you pitter-patter on them, though, they do quickly rouse, a little groggy. Tate and Angie, you kind of come to on this hot asphalt. Your kind of body, like, stings a bit as you look around. You have this kind of thrumming headache. As you look around and you see this large cat with knowing eyes.
The moment the two of them start to stir, the little sort of feeling sort of excited and intrigued by the prospect of interacting with people who aren't here to poke and prod at me, Umbra's, like, the little gray spots in her fur glow a slight green before settling back into the gray as she sort of gets over that little burst of emotion and she looks at them. Well, hello.
I think as Andrea is sort of, like, you know, like, the first feeling, there's two feelings that she feels when she first, like, kind of comes back into consciousness. The first being the weight of paws on her back, walking across her body, and then closely followed by the sting of the asphalt. And she kind of, you know, is pushing herself up. There's blood that's dripped down her face, and she's kind of reached up to wipe it away. And she looks up, and, you know, the first thought that you have is like, oh, that's a cat. The cat just spoke. I think she just gapes at Umbra for, like, too many, like, so the silence carries. It's just so much silence. And then she, like, starts, like, hitting Tate, like, with her hand. She's, like, reached over. She's still looking at Umbra, but she's, like, reaching and trying to
yeah, get Tate to look. Tate is in an equal state of agape, but kind of takes a step back and another. I'm going to get us paper towels and water, and runs.
Yeah, you're running inside.
They're in the third aisle from the left, if that helps.
You talk.
Why shouldn't I?
You're a cat.
Sorry, what is a cat?
Do you have a name?
Yes, my name is Umbra.
Hello, Umbra. I'm Angie. That one that's running away, that's Tate.
Is she quite all right?
No, probably not. Sorry, my head still hurts a bit.
I think they have some over-the-counter meds in there if you want to go and check.
Yeah, we can walk. We can walk and talk.
Okay.
Talking to not a cat. So, okay, you're not a cat. You don't know what a cat is. What are you?
I am not from here. And she scrunches up her nose and, like, the little tufts of fur glow a sort of deep red color for a moment before dissipating again.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. For sure. Not from here as in New Mexico?
Is that what your planet is called? New Mexico?
No.
No. I'm sure a lot of people think that it's kind of their whole world and the whole planet, but there is more to it, I swear.
Right.
No, you're on Earth.
Okay.
Or at least we call it Earth. You might call it something different if you're not from here. Kind of like how, you know, like Germans call Germany Deutschland, but we call it Germany. You know, like that sort of thing.
No, I don't know, like that sort of thing, unfortunately. Do you want to go inside? Your friend looks very distressed.
Yeah, let's see it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you guys walk inside. Tate, you're frantically looking for paper towels and water. The right level. That's the right level of response to this.
You know, sometimes you have to just go with the punches, and these punches are extraterrestrial and fluffy, so it'll totally be fine. And I think, like, that is her thought process, like, coming back or, like, heading outwards and kind of meeting in the middle with the two of them. So this is happening. This is happening right now.
This is Umbra.
Hello.
Hi, Umbra.
When you're talking about what's happening, do you mean the fact that your radio frequencies disturbed the ones keeping me here?
Is that what's going on?
Well, as far as I can tell, and she sort of is tired of just having to look up, so she quickly jumps on top of a chair, jumps on top of a table, and then quite, like, just repositions herself so that she's sitting at a more comfortable eye level with both of them and just looks at them with very, very big eyes. Cocks her head to the side.
Umbra, you're not some genetically modified, ultra-rich person's cat, are you?
Well, I'm going to take a guess and say no, but only because I do not have the context to quite understand what it is that you mean.
Okay.
Umbra doesn't know what a cat is.
Okay. Well, here, where we are, where we're from, Earth, we have things like you, but not like you. Like, in doesn't outline of Umbra. Like, your general face and structure and everything, but they don't have... Well, I guess some people... It depends on who you ask. It's just... I'm gonna stop talking now. It, like, goes to wipe her face.
Umbra just glows that same inquisitive green again, listening to Tate speak. It's sort of a pulsing light. And then that dims when Tate sort of starts wiping her face.
If you're not from here, where are you from?
Well... As far as I'm aware, I am from a different planet. That's what I've gathered. I was brought here. I am very unfamiliar with the place, and I also haven't been given much room to explore my surroundings.
Are you a prisoner?
Yes, I think so.
Oh, don't you?
You don't even know what I'm going to say.
No, I don't have to know what you're about to say. I saw E.T. multiple times with you.
It's a good movie.
Yeah. A movie. Fiction. This is not...
All fiction has some substance
we need
in reality.
Umbra.
Okay. How do you propose we leave?
by walking out. Oh, no.
And I think, like, mid-thought, it'll remember everything that happened just now.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Umbra, as you sit here having this conversation, you hear the low rumble of, I mean, you know it at this point. It's the vehicles that typically the people who come down and check on you drive. But there's about three of them, which isn't typical. And they're roughly 10 miles away. They just entered the radius.
The radius, okay. Oh, well, I don't think this is very good. And the sort of spots of fur start to glow a sort of bright orange as she becomes quite nervous. I don't know if this is a very good time to mention it, but as you have previously pointed out, I am imprisoned here. I also happen to have some handlers who come in to check up on me every so often. They are on their way, and they are more multitudinous than usual, I would say. I think we should leave from here, maybe? We can't go very far, but maybe. Oh, do you have that radio? Could we take it out of your vehicle? It scrambled the radio waves.
Car radios don't really... They're not supposed to really come out. They do sometimes come out in very unfortunate circumstances in which your car gets broken into in the middle of the
night.
Okay,
well, they are about 10 miles away. So I think if you two do not want to be caught here with me in this place, either you two should leave or we all three should quickly.
Right, Tate?
Oh, unfortunately. Do you want to be carried, or are you fine with walking?
We're driving.
I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to the feline alien.
She fits in the car.
Okay. I'm just gonna... Please, can we just go?
Do you have things here?
No, I do not.
Perfect.
Let's go.
Okay. I'm guessing we trot to the car.
We walk, yeah.
Yeah.
Walk to the car.
Do we get to the car?
You quickly get to the car. So, a car moving well over 50 miles an hour, covering 10 miles, does not take very long. You hear they're so incredibly close.
Ooh. Yeah, we jump into the car. Angie's like starting the engine.
Tate is manning the radio.
Yeah, so you get the car rolling. Can I get a brains for that radio just to see if you can remember what song was on before or what exactly you were listening to before you ended up here?
Oh, boy.
That's an 8.
An 8. Okay, so you're kind of flicking through trying to figure out which frequency is going to work best, which song. We get some Madonna. There's just different things kind of clicking. You're struggling a bit. Umber, would you like to try to help?
I would love to try to help, even though if I wasn't in the car, I'll just sort of try and figure out.
It's more that you have an ear for frequencies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, I'll help. So do I also roll then?
Yeah, you can roll brain as well.
Oh, ain't that beautiful? It's 2. I rolled a natural 1 on my D20.
The two of you. Oh, you get a token. Also,
thank you.
Angie and Tatum also got tokens for passing out earlier.
Thank you.
Yeah, the two of you are kind of fiddling with this, or maybe Tate, you're fiddling with the numbers, like turn it left, turn it right, like giving you like, you know, direction to try to see which station might work. You're driving kind of full capacity. Pretty quickly, you start to see cars behind you. They must have stopped, done a check, saw there was no one there, and are immediately on their way after you. You're approaching that 10-mile portion. You're speeding towards it. I need grit rolls from everybody.
Yeah, oh, all right.
Okay. Very middling. I rolled a 7.
I rolled a 7 plus 1. That's an 8.
And I rolled nothing because I'm scared.
Real.
A 6.
A 6. Okay. So a 7, a 6, a 7, and an 8. You hit this energy, the wavelengths, the radio here, the radio waves here, full speed. And there's a moment where that numbness, that tingling, that like weight washes over you. But the speed at which you were moving your car kind of pulls you through it. So Tate, you go completely like asleep. Angie, your body sort of locked and weighted as you're like holding onto the wheel and you start to kind of veer off, but you've made it out. Umbra, you're the only one that's still up, but maybe it's likely you've been hit by this so many times that like your resistance has been built up. And if not for the speed of the propulsion of the metal here that you're inside of, you probably would have stopped there. You hit a patch of dirt and gravel and rock, and you're able to kind of veer yourself back onto the road, Angie. You're so tired, and your arms are so heavy. But you're out. You're still driving? Or do you want to try to... Okay.
Nope, I'm not stopping. I look into my rearview mirror.
Give me a flight, please.
Yeah.
That is an 8.
Very good. You floor it. You get yourself back on the road, and you guys are going full speed. Very quickly, there are these... it's a 1970 Black Coronet, and there's 3 of them, and they're pretty comfortably on your tail. You're zooming. You're driving. Where do you want to go? What's the plan here for the 3 of you?
I think, first of all, the thing that's zooming right along this road ahead of these pretty imposing chargers is this bright blue bug of a car. Like, it's the most shape, just round car. It's not made for this, but we're going. I don't think Angie has much of a plan in the moment besides we have to get away. We have a alien in the back seat. Tate is out. I need to make sure that we get out of this alive. So my plan is to lose them somehow, which isn't easy given that this is desert and you can see for miles. So the best place to lose them is probably in the city where I can duck into an alley of some sort.
That sounds like a fantastic plan. Give me 2 more flight rolls, and while you do that, Tate, you come back to, and they're still on your tail, but you guys are out of it. Your head's thrumming again. You guys are flying down this highway.
Tate is like those videos of people who are just completely overwhelmed on a roller coaster. Like, it is a sway back and forth of consciousness and unconsciousness. And maybe around like the second, third time, she's back up, a little wide-eyed, kind of frantic. Apparently, this wasn't a dream. She didn't wake up in her bed an hour or so before the trip. This is actually happening. And seeing Umbra just doesn't make it better. Just opens her mouth, closes it. Umbra, if there's anything you can do right now to help us help you, that would be fantastic.
Umbra just sort of looks at you with her incredibly large, incredibly pupil-filled eyes. It's like you look into her eyes for a moment, trying to implore her to help somehow. And for a moment, and it's probably not helped by the fact that you've been unconscious 3 times, but for a moment, it feels like you're free falling. You look, it's a bit like, you know when everyone says you look into the abyss and the abyss looks back into you? Except it's like you're pulled into the void and darkness of space. And it feels for a moment like you're surrounded by that void. Before Umbra goes, well, I was brought here. I don't have much direction to give you. And at this point, Adam, I want to ask you, how did they bring me here? Did I crash down on the planet somehow? Do I know where I landed?
Yeah, you go ahead and tell me. I definitely think that you ended up on Earth. Like, I don't think that Earth got you from anywhere. I think you either crash landed or did come to visit sort of thing. You tell me how and where. Do you need to send a message to your allies to pick you up? Do you need to just get to your ship and you'll be able to get on? What's going on with Umbra?
I think it's for sure a thing of Umbra needs to find a way to contact her people. I think their planet is a very distant one. The things that they are able to do are sort of far-reaching. They are sort of, I want to say, galaxy-hopping creatures who tend to, in the same breath, be very much homebodies. Umbra decided to take a little romp out in space and ended up on Earth and kidnapped before she could do much about it. So she wants to find a way to amplify the kind of psychic signal that could notify someone else of her planet to come and help her get back home.
Amazing. So you would know at least that either, at the very least, the people that you were with would have access to something that could transmit that, or just given your general high level of intelligence, you could probably put together that a larger structured radio and antenna would be able to help you do what you need to do.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. I rolled a 6 and a 3 on my flight roll.
Can I spend an action token? How much does she need to pass the flight rolls? Can I know that? Because if it's going to help, I would want to spend one of my tokens to give her a +2 to one of her rolls.
Yeah, I'll let you spend an action token to give a +2 to the 6 to make it pass.
Okay.
Yeah, so you, at first they kind of begin, at this point they're approaching you. Their cars are moving quicker than yours. You veered off, you might have done some damage to the frame. You're getting caught up to. You just sort of like lock in and speed up just enough to get into the city. They're still on you, they're on your tail. You're in the city, though, and you can now see a handful of them. One of them in the car directly behind you is the only one that's kind of going solo. There's no one else in their car with them. And she appears to be femme-presenting. There's something uncanny about her, though. Full suit, black gloves, uncanny. You made it into the city, though. What do you want to do? What do you guys want to do?
I want to lose, though. I want to get into an alley, or I imagine it's going to be much easier to lose them on foot. So I want to find somewhere that we can put the car, get out and book it, essentially.
You go and pitch me what you want to use to do this, and then you explain to me how it works.
Well, I would like to pitch my brains to you. I have spent a lot of time kind of being interested in Roswell because of my fascination with aliens and cryptids. So I've looked at maps of Roswell specifically because people make those kind of novelty maps where you can see, like, this is where this happened, and this is where this happened, and this is where this happened. So I've spent so long looking at those maps that I know this city pretty well now. Even if I haven't physically been here before, I know the roads, I know the streets, I know where there's a dark alley for me to go into.
That's
because of my research.
So incredibly rational, and I will accept that. Go ahead and give me that brains roll.
I'm so rational. I just have to roll well now.
Why would you say it? Why would you say that? You expend your you got a token
brother
earlier for failing.
Uh-huh.
So use your token.
You roll a natural one.
I can use it to re-roll.
Yeah.
God.
I'll tell you what I did roll.
A critical.
It was a three.
Oh, oh my
goodness. Wow.
Versus that, see, that's a perfectly acceptable 14. I'll take
that's
that.
So good. So you, I think, managed to kind of pull through a light right as like a truck was backing out. So you hear kind of the of all the cars stopping right before they hit a truck. You turn quickly down this little alley. You've made it to a point where they can't see you currently. They're still close, but you want to get out of the car, yes?
Yes, yeah.
All right.
Okay, everybody out.
Out? All right.
Out of the car.
Where?
We're gonna walk. Umbra, you had to get here somehow, right? So, and you have a planet. Do you have any way to reach out to them? Do you have any way to get off the planet?
In as few words as possible, I think, not out of my own ability right now. I've been away from my planet and our energy sources for so long that I can't access the ways that I would usually be able to communicate with my fellow inhabitants across galaxies as normal. So whatever could amplify any psychic or even, yeah, it would have to be psychic, but anything that could amplify communications, radio waves, telepathic waves, that could help me reach my people.
Forgive me if this is crass, but a radio tower, maybe? Like, we have radio stations that emit radio waves. Oh, would that work?
Well, it's as good a shot as any. I don't want to try and use whatever devices the people who have been keeping me or have been using. That sounds terrifying.
Okay, we can walk and talk. Come on.
All right,
yeah,
let's go.
There has to be... There have to be local radio stations to Roswell, to have access to a radio tower. So, okay, maybe we can, and I'm going to look around for a tourist, like, store, essentially, that, like, towns like these usually have.
Yeah. Right away, you see, like, been abducted, ? And it's welcome to Roswell. And it's inside is just, like, gray aliens, like, the spaceships, all of that.
Here we go!
Oh my god, he threw,
here
he
we
threw
go!
The chair. He threw the chair.
And now he's getting it back all because right. We're gonna have to sit.
We are in Casey's home. That was Casey's actual chair.
You look out of the window and you see a Toyota Previa upside down on fire.
Oh my god. Oh.
But it's not nearby any trees or anything, so it's fine.
On fire.
It's fine. It's not fine to me, GM. Jesus Christ, that's my fucking car.
Dynamite headbutt.
He screams as he headbutts this man.
Honestly, his left jaundiced eyeball pops out of his head.
Oh, and if you were to take a picture the second their two heads were touching, it might have been an intimate, tender scene between friends or lovers. But if you were to take a picture at any other second, yeah. It is just absolutely horrifying.
For some men, violence is a form of intimacy, which is so sad.
That is
maybe
so
for
sad.
This man, but anyway. Boom! Smashed in the head!
Bodhi has a pocket full of, like, one oversized precious moment angel that has a real strange face.
Oh, I thought that was your dick.
Oh! It was his dick. There's a hole in his pocket and his penis, which does resemble a precious moment angel with a strange face.
Oh, it's a strange face, but it actually looks like a pretty normal penis head.
And that's what we call facts.
He looks back and he says one last threatening phrase, pointing to the bar.
I'm gonna... And Violet shoots him in the head.
You see this guy's ear get blown off, flying off his head.
Ah! Bye-bye.
And then at this point, Scratch pops up like a mummy.
Ah, mummy! Headbutt!
Dynamite headbutt!
Something is rising, piecing itself together from the bodies and viscera around it. Its black wings spread, and it looks back at you with red, wet eyes.
Got her.
Thank This episode is brought to you by the World Builders Club, a project of Working Families Power, an organization building power for the multiracial working class. The World Builders Club is your go-to dispatch for breaking down the political, cultural, and emotional architecture behind your favorite universes, from romance novels and TTRPGs to blockbuster franchises and indie gems. This isn't just pop culture analysis. It's a love letter to the art of creating worlds and the power those worlds have to shape our own. I, Kim, am a really big movie lover, and I've recently gotten back into reading, so I just finished Project Hail Mary, and I really enjoyed their piece about how we've been getting first contact all wrong, and their piece on how Hopecore seems to be the future for sci-fi, especially with the vibe of Project Hail Mary and Superman last year. Hope is punk. So, join the club and build a better world with them by subscribing to bit.ly/WBC Many Sided, or by searching World Builders Club on Substack.
Perfect. Before we go into that store, I'm going to like look down at Umbra,
who is currently glowing a kind of orange with nerves.
Yes.
Ooh.
That. Can you not do that?
Do what? Sorry?
Glow?
It's part of my physiology.
Okay.
Okay.
Well,
I got this.
We can workshop that.
No, I got it. And Tate is on the way, like, searching through the gift shop for, like, pet costumes. So maybe, like, or, like, baby clothes to put Umbra in.
While you're doing that, I'm gonna talk to Umbra again. So remember earlier how Tate got like super freaked out when you said hi, and I was like, oh, cats don't talk. Everybody else is going to think that you're a cat, so when we're around other people, maybe don't talk
right
out loud.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you have another option.
Well, my psychic abilities, as I said, I think I've been away from my own planet for way too long. If I try to speak into your mind right now, I might fall unconscious. I want to sort of...
I don't know how much I would enjoy that.
All right. Well, then I shan't do it.
Thank you. The less attention we draw to ourselves while we're fugitives from the government... probably for the best.
Okay. And she starts glowing a little brighter orange.
It's gonna be fine. We're gonna get you home.
I hope so.
You're gonna be okay.
And sort of Umbra starts looking into the store to see if she can see where Tate has gone, disappeared into the store. Tries to follow behind.
Tate, you managed to get in and quickly you find... it's a costume for a dog. It's like it's one of those overcoats that like velcros under their belly, but it's like it's a gray alien. Like you quickly find one of those. You like walk in, it's like doo doo doo, and it's like, oh, hello there. And they do like the little the sign. It's like, welcome to our planet.
Yeah. I just need this, please. Also, my radio is a little weird. Do you know what stations are picked up here? Do you have any radio stations?
Yeah, we have all kinds of radio stations. What are you looking for? We've got AM stuff. We've got AM stuff. Mostly AM. We have a couple of FM channels. A lot of... We operate on AM mostly here lately.
That's really interesting. You know, how about... a little column A, column B, AM, FM. I'm bisexual. I think I can do both.
Oh, love everywhere, you know? I don't, on every planet.
Yeah.
So what radio stations do you want me to... And he just starts, like, writing down, like... You see now, like, he doesn't know what to do. And so he's just writing down radio stations.
Yeah, it's awkward and awkward. I think... she'll ask for, like, just pop, country, just almost every genre. As long as she can get both station types, like both frequencies.
Easy. Okay, yeah. He's able, he jots down a couple of different station types, pop country, and then he also writes down like a couple of like shows that are like local like shows, right? It's like, oh, like, you know, FM 291, and it's like, you know, the variety show and things like that. So he writes all of that stuff down.
Yeah.
And he hands it over to you and he's like, all love. And he like walks to the back. You pointedly have not paid for what you got here. He's bailing. He's bailing out of this moment. He's like,
he
was like, I was weird too fast and I have to go hide in the back now.
Yeah.
They'll just even take like a stick of gum on the way out while they're feeling a little spicy.
you guys are, I believe you're saying your Ember was heading towards as you get out, you see this partially glowing cat beginning to make its way out of the alley. You now see, also walking across this alley, you do see that the cars have parked and they're all empty, so you can recognize that they're on foot pursuing you.
Gotcha.
Or I guess building checking.
All right.
Umbra, I do apologize for this, but you cannot be a mood ring right now. And just scoops them up and like wrangles them into the gray costume and pulls a little hoodie down. So like the eyes are like bulging instead of their face.
An alien dressed as an alien.
Mm-hmm.
Umbra endures this. Umbra endures this valiantly.
Oh my God.
Wow.
That's beautiful.
So did you find the radio stations?
Yes, I did. I got a couple stations here or there, and then we can just, I think, looks at Angie.
Are there any, when you were in the shop, did you get the name of any, like, shows, maybe? Local shows?
Oh, yeah, and she just gives them the piece of paper.
I'm looking for an alien show.
There's...
I'm looking for sympathizers right now. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, there's one that's called Stay True, Roswell, and it's listed as a show after the truth. We know the aliens are out there. We just want to make contact. That's all.
Okay, guys, I know where we're going.
Which one did you pick?
Stay True, Roswell.
It's
a classic. You can... Okay.
No, I think...
This is good for us. Slide.
I apologize. We are in a completely different situation. I can't be a skeptic this time. Let's go.
Yeah, I think the one thing that Angie grabs from the car before we finally leave my beautiful bug behind is a map, like a proper map, just so we don't, you know, get completely lost.
Yeah. You grab this map. I'm gonna go ahead and need a brain roll from Tate and Angie to make sure that you can follow this map appropriately.
Umbra looks deeply uncomfortable and is like walking with their paws way too wide, like their legs are like they're like trotting awkwardly. It's like they have gum stuck on the bottom of their paws or something.
Oh,
this is devastating to be specific. I rolled a 13, by the way.
I rolled a 16.
Oh, smashing.
The two of you are able to pretty quickly maneuver through this place. I'm going to need just each of you to give me two flight rolls. And they all need to be over a threshold of 6. Anything under 6 will be a failure. And if we have more than half failures, you will get recognized by an enemy.
My one is an 11 and my other one's a 3.
Okay. So that's 1 and 1.
Now,
so my first one was a 6. My first one was a 1. My second one was a 6.
Right, so it's also 1 and 1.
Now, what if our rolls add up to 6?
Oh,
I had a 2 and a 4.
Okay, I will point out that you notably do currently have a token if you want to use that for a reroll.
Okay, I will. Another 4.
Yeah. So you guys are kind of dipping in between like buildings and alleys and streets, just trying to make it kind of across, like halfway across town to get to this radio station. And you quite pointedly bump face to face like into an agent, fully, you know, full suit, tie, black gloves. This is not the person that you'd bumped into previously or that was behind you previously. It's one of the other ones. Have a large kind of tan leather briefcase on them. And they like look at you funny. They just look you up and down. They look at your animal just an alien. They haven't made you in this moment.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to do?
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, excuse me. Have you seen a blue bug around the car, not an animal?
Oh, no.
No?
I haven't, and honestly, I hate them. It's such a tacky color with an already tacky car. I try to avoid them.
I can't even lie to you. It was quite a tacky car and quite a tacky color.
Oh, I can also imagine.
Terrible driver. Terrible driver. They veered off the road multiple times. It was really unfortunate.
Yeah, I don't think anyone who had proper brain functions would have a car like that to begin with. But that is just me.
I agree with you. Cute dog. Mind if I pet? He starts leaning.
Oh,
down.
No, she bites.
Sorry.
We are like a little proper exposure type thing. We are not there for pets just yet.
If she bites, why is she not on a leash? That's a little seems a little irresponsible.
Oh, she's very loyal, very good dog. She doesn't leave our sides, but we're trying to get her acclimated to more stimuli. You know how it is. Something like a leash would make her feel really
restricted,
trapped, and uncomfortable. Really restricted. You know, this is her comfort.
You know,
costume.
I get that, but
so
comfort costume. The alien costume. Is
comfort costume. Yeah.
Some things, given just how dangerous they are, can't be allotted certain comforts, and unfortunately, for a lot of things, this is true. Sometimes you have to keep things certain places.
Yeah, that sounds true.
I need both of you guys to give me some kind of roll here to see how efficiently you're handling this. Pitch to me what roll you use to try to convince this guy that it's just your dog that bites and that you don't know the blue bug.
Charm?
Okay.
Maybe?
I'll take charm.
Charm? I'm just such a nice, perfectly normal young girl.
Right, yeah.
Who loves her dog.
Can I argue brains? Because I am kind of be smart about this.
You are, and you're very pointedly not super lying. You're like obfuscating the truth by talking shit about your friend, which is very funny to me.
Yeah, that's what friends do.
Andrea's like on the verge of tears.
I got a 12.
That is a 9.
Well, okay, you three be safe. Please be careful with your biting dog, not on a leash.
We'll invest in a harness or something.
That's probably a good idea. Also, stay on the lookout for a bug. If you need anything, if you see one, go and give me a call. And he hands you like a little card. And see you later.
Thank you.
Thanks.
We're just going to walk away now. We're just going to walk perfectly waddle away.
Yeah.
One of us is waddling away.
Yeah, you make it to this radio station. It's definitely a little shoddy like radio like tower, like shack almost, but it still has all of the access to whatever you might need here. You're on the outside.
Okay, do you think I knock?
Well, we should go in, shouldn't we? Umbra, dips their head down so the head of the costume just, like, covers their entire face.
I think you said it's like a shack, right?
So it is a building, but, like, for like a radio station, it's a shack. Like, it's...
Okay. Does it look like this is the sort of building where I need, like, a key card or anything to walk. I can just, okay, we just go
in. It is just a door. If it's unlocked, you're going to be able to walk in. You pull on it. It opens. You walk in.
Perfect.
You see that there's like a front desk where someone should be working. There's no one there. And you just hear someone in the background just kind of talking like, I'm telling you, there's aliens out there. And, you know, I know we think that they have these big eyes and big gray heads, but I think that they look more like animals that we see in like old portraits. So like, you know how like the Egyptians revered cats? I think that there's probably like cat aliens. And if there's cat aliens, there's dog aliens. And if there's dog aliens, there's human aliens that have dog aliens as pets. Probably wolf aliens, honestly. You know those werewolves they talk about seeing? Bet it's an alien. And it's this guy just rambling on about aliens. And for a moment, it's like, oh shit, he's like on the track. He figured it out. And then he just jumps ship to something completely nonsense. Also, no way the Aztecs built those. That's too hard for anyone to do. Probably aliens.
We'll unpack that later, right? We'll unpack that later.
You know, maybe we should just turn around.
And we need the station.
Okay, we can...
And the government's trying to cover up aliens because they don't want us to be free. You see, so I believe in our freedom, and the government's trying to keep us down. But they use alien tech every day. How do you think I'm talking to you now? You think humans figured out radio waves? No. Aliens did. Taught the government. Government taught us. We have radio waves. I'm just saying. You know?
Maybe we should wait for the
break. I think this is as good as anything. Yeah, I'm sure that won't take very long.
Which aliens taught your government about radio waves?
I really couldn't tell you.
Well, I gotta visit the little saucers room, so I'll be back. And you hear kind of just the on-air thing, dims. And then you just kind of hear, like, just elevator music playing in between. And he gets up, and he walks out, ho! Whoa, people, and a dog? Cat?
Hi!
Hi.
Big fans of your show. We think we've got something that could really... interest you specifically.
You think you have something that can...
Mm-hmm.
Do you have perhaps photos of aliens?
I'll do you one better.
Is this a point where I start talking now?
Yeah, this would be great.
Was that... did your cat just talk?
Mm-hmm. Not a cat.
Umbra, like...
I'm gonna lift the hood off of Umbra's.
Umbra just sits there and glows a slight green with curiosity again because she found his incoherent ramblings interesting.
He like stiffens up. He's like, yeah. And he just kind of walks down like this little hall and opens a door and goes behind it and just locks it. You just hear like...
Okay.
Is that a real alien?
Yeah.
Is it mind controlling you?
No.
Ask you why it made the pyramid.
I don't think it did that.
My planet is completely subsumed in darkness and forests.
Are you trying to control my mind?
I don't know how to do that.
Okay. What do you need?
Access to
radio
equipment.
We need your tower.
The tower.
Yeah, do whatever you want. Just please, I'm gonna stay in here. Before you leave, if you could sign an autograph, like a photo of me or something, that'd be really cool. Do whatever you want and then leave, please, and thank you.
I don't have hands. I
Somebody
could.
Please help her sign an autograph.
We'll get it done. Don't worry.
I mean, I think the closest approximation I would have would be the tentacles, but those only come out during mating season, and I'm so far away from mating season right now.
Oh. Yeah.
You know,
no.
I could have went my
whole
life.
We'll do like a paw print or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, I didn't need to hear
picture.
That.
Can you lift your paw up very quickly?
And like... they sort of try in this little suit, and it's like the most awkward tilt lift thing ever. They look very disgruntled.
Are there toe beans there?
There are little toe beans there, but they're like,
okay, yeah.
It looks like there are hooks that are sort of pronounced under like soft flesh. It looks like there are like tiny little hooks beneath them.
Hmm.
As you're examining the toe beans, the door swings open. Umbra, almost. You almost got away. You guys are so clever. I figured. And the two of you can see it is the uncanny looking woman. As you look at her, I would like some kind of roll from the two of you to catch the vibe of her.
Brains.
Okay, yeah.
I'm rolling brains because I've looked at many an uncanny thing in my research.
It's true, yeah, it's true.
This is my area. I am very skeeved out, though.
I get an adversity token.
Oh, no. All right, well, here you
go. I rolled a 16.
With you can't be sure, but the only thing you know for a fact is that this person is not 100% human in the way you understand human. Their eyes are just wrong. Almost constant, like the pupil and irises are almost in constant motion, just like reforming and forming and almost kaleidoscope-esque. Anyways, it's a pleasure to meet you two. Here's my card, and they slide it to you. And so you see that it is labeled AOE in all caps, like with periods, like a shorthand for something. And then it is Agent Ranella Marina. Umbra, you know this is one of your handlers. Visited you a couple times. I kind of figured that you were going to go somewhere to send a message, roll the die. I did check two places before here, so you're just unlucky.
Umbra's tail, like, you can't see the fur on their back because they're still in the costume, but their tail's like puffed up the way a cat is when it's like scared, and her back is a little bit arched, and she's sort of backing off into the side to get behind Tate, to not be in full view of this agent. You could also just let me go.
Right, I could. You want to know what AOE stands for, guys? Are you curious?
Oh, I'm so curious.
You seem like the curious type, because why would you take a talking cat out of somewhere? Does that make sense to you? Does that seem safe?
Umbra glows orange.
To be fair, we were kind of caught in the loop by mistake, and if anything, this is a government failing by far.
Oh, certainly. But that's the fun part about my job, is I'm cleanup crew. And so every now and again, the government, we make a small mistake. My bosses make a small mistake. Somebody gets their stupid blue bug through something and steals an alien cat from somewhere. And I clean it up.
Everyone's being so mean to my bug.
It's an ugly car. I'm sorry. Anyways, I do the cleaning. And in that, well, I'm asset and obstacle eradication. Asset, obstacles, eradication.
Yeah, I don't like that last word. Do you like that last word?
No, I thought it was area of effect, to be honest.
Yeah, me too.
You know, frankly, I did have that same gripe with it when I joined, but what can I do? Anyways, what's your plan here?
The plan. Right.
Well,
I always
should have talked
plan.
My plan would be to leave this planet and never come back. Would that suit you?
It would.
So can I?
Can you? Is that something you're capable of?
I was going to try before you insinuated violence on me and the two people who removed me from my prison.
The thing is that violence is my job, so I'm employed. I'm really good at it, mm-hmm. making things disappear.
You seem like it. Mm-hmm.
One of their eyes moves and looks at you.
Okay. Look, you know, you said you checked two other places before this. You could just say you didn't find anything at the third place either.
That's true. I could do that.
You know, Umbra goes home. We go home. And all of us just forget this ever happened.
Forget. I like that. So I...
Yeah.
Why did you say that?
Sorry, sidebar.
Wait, I don't know. It seemed like the right thing to do.
Did you not see this fucking villainous in front of us? Oh, forget. We're probably going to get our minds rearranged.
That doesn't seem legal.
Oh, it's I can do whatever I want. I'm way beyond oversight. I don't really even have a boss. I just drive around in the car and do mostly what I want. Every once in a while, I had to check on the cat.
I do have a question.
Oh, go on.
Are you summer interning, possibly? That does sound like a good job.
Hold
Listen,
on.
I have a question. Go on.
The other agent said that creatures capable of violence should be leashed, otherwise it would be a danger to everyone around them. Where's your leash? Do you need one?
I don't need a leash. Because what I do matters. I'm not just some animal running around. Anyways, I hate New Mexico. And I hate having to be on this track because I have to deal with the cat. So I'll make you a barter.
I'm not a cat.
You do your little escape plan. The mm-hmm. cat leaves.
Mm-hmm.
I wipe your minds entirely. And I don't kill any of you, and I get to avoid killing teenagers today.
Counter argument.
Go on.
We do help
mm-hmm.
Umbra leave. We keep our memories.
Right. Okay.
And we shut up forever.
Oh, okay. Counter argument.
Okay.
I open this little briefcase I have here. It scrambles your brains almost immediately. And then I have roughly an hour, maybe more, before someone else comes in here to dismember you and get rid of the pieces.
Okay, I see. And then one last final.
That's a pretty compelling
counter.
Right, counter to the counter.
We do. Yes. Of course, Umbra, it's safe in this. You erase one of us, dealer's choice, and then the other shuts up forever.
And gets that internship.
Or goes as an intern, because I was actually interested in the internship.
So I'll counter to the counter to my counter, countering the original argument. Last one here.
Okay.
You do your fun little thing. You save the day. You have a moment of sending a message. You say goodbye to Umbra. Umbra goes wherever and doesn't come back, because if they do, well, I'll do what I do. I erase your memories, and then I put in a word to check your grades and histories and your compatibility with the departments and see if there's any way that one or two of you could get an offer or an interest, and then we can maybe give you access to your wiped memories again if you earn it through rising through the ranks beyond being like some scrub who drives around and like picks up leftover alien dung, right?
Deal.
Awesome.
Look, it can be either one of us. Look, this is your thing. And then once we forget and one of us comes back and remembers, we can scrapbook it or something. I don't know.
Yeah, we usually don't hire fanatics. They're weird. That guy that's hiding in the back that I can hear breathing rapidly, I've scrambled his brain like 20 times.
Our counter argument also includes not killing him.
Fine. Guess no blood today.
Sorry.
That's nice.
Can you guys roll charm and brain, respectively? Yeah. The better one, whatever one's better for you.
Yeah.
I'm taking brains.
Taking brains.
Oh, so we're both braining.
Taking brains. Oh, yeah. We're a brain-heavy operation here. I rolled 17.
I rolled a 14, which I'm going to make a 15 from the adversity.
The two of you roll a 17 and a 15. Well, you know, to keep me honest, I'll take that deal.
Okay.
Yeah, you want to do the goodbye stuff.
Oh, do you have to be here for that?
I guess not. But if you try to leave without asking me or running it by me, I'll do the other thing. So I'll be outside. Yeah, I'll be outside.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm, yeah, definitely. Yep. Mm-hmm.
I'll wait.
I know you will.
Well, that went well.
Okay. Surprisingly,
you really, that was very risky. You really,
oh, now you're on to me for being risky. The road tripper. This is your fault. And when we forget,
my fault.
I remember that it was your fault.
Okay, well, you can remember that. I'm going to remember that we rescued an alien together.
No, you won't.
And
we're going to forget.
There's no one I would rather.
Minutes.
I'm going to remember that you're my best friend in the world.
Oh, nice
and
save.
And that there's no one I would rather
nice
be
save
on this trip with than you.
You are
which
the
is
only
true
person I would love to forget things with. Positive. That I meant that in a good way. If there was a mission I would forget, at least it would be with you.
Umbra.
Can I please take off her suit now?
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
I'm really sorry about that. I'm glad you get to go home.
Well, we'll see.
And, you know, I know we're going to forget about you, but, if you could remember us, that would be nice.
I'm sure
I
will.
Could you sign...
Right, the paw print. Yes.
All right.
Maybe
yeah
a couple for us. Maybe we won't forget that.
Sure. I don't know if he has, like, I know in the 80s they probably still use those ink pads that you can, like, I don't know if they would have, like, curio stamps. Like, oh, you visited the shack, so you
no,
get, like, a
absolutely
little curio stamp.
Then
okay,
100%,
okay.
100%, yeah.
Then I think Umbra will, after freeing herself from the confines of the alien costume, make, like, press her paws into that ink pad and press it on some pieces of whatever they give to her to press it on, so that they have her little hooked paw print in there, on there in ink. Before
I think it's like those tourist
yeah,
maps,
yeah, 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 yeah.
Three
yeah,
tourist yeah maps of Roswell.
Before she, like, sort of sits down, quirks her ears, and then moves towards, like, the radio equipment she sees that he was using to broadcast, I'm assuming. And she'll go to sit there, and then she'll be like... And she starts glowing a sort of magenta color with anticipation. There's little gray spots lighting up, all magenta. And she says, well, if one of you could tune the frequency and the other could help me use this device, maybe I can contact my family? my people?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do I have to make a brains roll to hear the correct frequency?
You want to tune?
Yeah, I'll take the tuning.
Yeah, I'll take a brains roll from all three.
From all three, okay, great.
If the brain trio.
Yeah.
I rolled a 12.
I rolled an 18.
15.
Let's go. So 15, 18, and 12 is so good. The three of you kind of in tandem work on this thing, and you're able to access and kind of send off a frequency that might be of note. You kind of just have to hope that they hear it, right?
Like, yeah. I use the remainder of whatever psychic ability that I have that I've been sort of storing up, even though I've been suffering prolonged separation from my own planet and atmosphere. I use the remaining energy I have to send a sort of use the radio signals, the radio waves and frequencies to amplify that signal of mine, like a little homing device to where I am, and I send that off. I'm very hopeful that I will be heard.
Yeah, so kind of a beat goes by. Ranella walks in and is like, okay, Umbra, with me, you three. Well, you two and the guy in the closet, stay here. I just called for them. They're going to go ahead and wipe your minds. I told them I killed you. So you guys try to act a little bit devastated before they get in here. You, I guess, just hide out in the alleys or something until I don't care. I don't care what you do. Don't show your face or anything. Don't let people see you. I'll kill you. That stuff. Thanks for letting me get out of New Mexico. I've been dying to get on the road. So I guess I'll be seeing you guys. Probably never, if I'm being honest.
I think Umbra, when she has to say her goodbyes, she does that little cat... the classic cat thing, twines her way through both Tate and Angie's legs, sort of bump her little head against them. She's now with sort of hope and happiness glowing those little gray spots, and the tips of her ears are glowing a little soft yellow glow as she says goodbye to her newfound friends and saviors from the radio wave prison.
Yeah. You kind of skipper off just around. Surely it shouldn't take too long for your planet to come get you.
I think it's a sort of... So what happens... No one's there to see, but what happens is there's this sort of purplish tear. It looks like a tear in space that... sort of appears and then slowly tears itself apart, and the inside is inky black darkness and starlight, and out of it steps another cat that looks identical to Umbra. The same dark fur, same gray spots, and Umbra doesn't speak to this other cat, not a cat, cat that's not a cat. Instead, the little lights, the little spots in their fur that light up with colors are enough to communicate thoughts and feelings and emotions. And together they step through this tear in space and are off.
You, maybe like an hour after everything that went down, you kind of get to go home. The two of you along with the owner of the radio station kind of just stand there and waiting. It's like, three different agents come in, like, oh, sorry you had to see your friend die. It really is a bummer. Eradication team is too much for me. It makes my stomach queasy just talking about it. So it's very unfortunate that you guys had to see that. I can't believe you got past me. The alien walked right past me. I don't know. That's, frankly, I don't even want to wipe you guys' memories. Honestly, it's hilarious. Anyways.
You could not.
Oh, no, I have to. I'm so scared of her. And I know she left a bit ago, Eradication team scares the hell out of us.
I had to try.
No, yeah. I respect it. I respect it. I did hear she did tell one of the other guys to go ahead and look into y'all. So You know, maybe you get lucky. Maybe you're interesting enough. You seem like a fanatic, though. I don't think they're going to hit your line, honestly. This guy.
I'm okay with
like,
that.
This is probably like my like 15th time scrambling this guy's brain. So I think he's on like number 50, honestly. Anyways.
Does that have any like permanent effects?
Well, you heard him talk. So let's go ahead and get this going. And he opens up this little briefcase and just plays it. And could you guys give me grit rolls, please?
Oof.
Ah, please.
I roll a one.
I also rolled a one.
Oh my god, bestie!
Guys, you both kind of, like, in that moment, look at each other. You look at this poor guy that's had his brain scrambled like 50 times. It goes blank. You wake up in the bug on the side of the road, just outside of Roswell. It's hot. The sun is beating down. You feel the bug's wheels giving a bit to the hot asphalt. You must have pulled over to get some water. Kind of shake it off. Like, oh, did I fall asleep? It's nighttime just outside of Roswell. It's a desert. It gets quite cold. It was hot in the day, and you remember that. And the heat's kind of leaving the asphalt. There's still kind of that residual like warmth. And you're almost at your destination.
Oh, man, I needed that nap.
Yeah, but I don't want to be here. No, what's out here? Coyotes worse.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah, I do know.
Maybe we'll run into an alien.
Yeah, as you
No.
There's this kind of glow off in the distance, clearly inside of Roswell. It's this thrum and then a quick glow and then it's gone. And yeah, I think that's where we'll close today's episode. Wow, thank you guys so much. We said no character development. No one gets character development. I wipe your minds.
No.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for listening to the 5G of the Trench Coat. This is a wonderful game. I had amazing players. And please tell us where to find you.
Gosh, why am I emotional? That's crazy. Powerful one-shot people. Again, I'm Vin at VinVox VA on most socials, but not on Blue Sky. That is VinVox.com. VinVox.com is also my website. Again, I am a voice actor. You can find my resume, my studio specs, my demo reels, and point of contact, or just email me directly for opportunities. I had a great time, and I'm just going to shut up now and not cry.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I had a great time. Thank you for allowing me to play a little alien cat who's not a cat, Adam. I'm very thankful to you guys and the GMs for having me over. I am Kestrel. I only have a Blue Sky. I'm at Tippler's Bane on Blue Sky. Link to my card and all the things that I get up to in there. Do some voice acting stuff, but mostly I just work as a writer on my little show, All at Sea. So go check it out if you're so inclined.
I love All at Sea. My name is Tatiana, and I'm All at Sea's biggest fan, which is true. And also, I'm the writer, producer, and lead actor in the solo TTRPG actual play / audio drama Soul Operator, which you can find by going to souloperatorpod.com, or you can check us out on the Rusty Quill website. We are a part of the Rusty Quill Network. You can find me at Talk Coco. I'm pretty much only on Blue Sky at this point. If you really want to check out my Instagram, I guess you can. But you can find everything that I'm up to on Blue Sky. And I am so grateful to have been a part of this game. Adam is a phenomenal GM, and these players are just sensational. So I can't wait for you guys to hear this whenever that
Yeah, thanks everyone for listening. Please go check out all of these absolutely fantastic, amazing people. Please check out the rest of the season and all the other guest episodes. They're all so much fun. And keep a lookout. Go like, if you're listening now, go like all the art and stuff that's been released for it. It's super sick. Bye-bye. Bye.
Hey, thank you for listening to 5 GMs in a Trench Coat. Be sure to follow us on social media at 5 GMs in a Trench Coat on Instagram, Threads, and TikTok, and at 5 GMs Official on Blue Sky. You can also check out our website at 5GMsInATrenchCoat.com. We're also on YouTube. Just search up 5 GMs in a Trench Coat to watch us play video games and other variety content. If you like the episode, please rate us 5 stars and leave a little comment. And if you'd like to support us further, you can leave a little tip on our Ko-Fi at ko-fi.com/5jamsinatrenchcoat. Thanks, and catch you in the next episode.